John chapter number 15. Before I get to our text verse here tonight, I want to talk a little bit about this particular chapter. John chapter 14 is a passage that is a wonderful. I love reading this where it talks about, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Thomas asks the question, "How can we know the way?" Jesus answers, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." When we get to chapter number 15, he begins teaching about the vine. "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman." And talks about abiding in him. In verse number 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me." And I would say we have no power whatsoever to do anything for God unless we are abiding in him. He is the true vine. It goes on in chapter or verse number 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." In verse number 7, again it talks about abiding. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." In verse 13, "Greater love hath this than hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." And I'm thankful for the fact that God expects something from me as a child, as his child. Amen. I am grateful that he expects something from me as his friend. He loves me as I am, without question. I know that. It is unequivocal. He does not demand of me anything for him to love me. But he says there, if you look at it again in verse number 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Well, I want to be the friend of God. I want to be the friend of God. I want him to be my friend and I want to be his. I want to do what he commands me. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will. I'm going to read a few verses here. In verse number 18, the Bible says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world..." Now remember, we have the Lord's Prayer over in John chapter number 17. You don't need to turn there. He prays in verse number 9 of chapter 17. It says, "I pray for them." The Lord's Prayer is not my, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's a great pattern of prayer, but it is not the Lord's Prayer. In fact, just before that, let me remind you, he tells us not to go into vain repetition in our prayer. So why in the world would he then give us a prayer that we are to repeat over and over and over again? It's not something that we're supposed to repeat over and over again. He prays for us in John chapter 17. But here in John chapter 15, he says in verse number 19, "If ye were of the world would love his own, because ye are not of the world." He makes the same statement, of course, over in John 17. But it goes on, "But I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." Watch verse 21. It says, "But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." They know not him that sent me. Tonight, the message that I am going to preach is just simply entitled, "If Others Knew." If others knew. I alluded to it here about 2 weeks ago, and the Lord had directed me to change the message right here at the very last. I'm going to preach this tonight, "If Others Knew." I'm going to ask you make three simple statements. Really, they're more questions. But I want you to think about this. If others knew, as it says there in verse 21, "They know not him that sent me." What could happen if others knew? Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get started. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for the message that, Lord, you have laid upon my heart. I thank you for the passage of Scripture, Lord. What a beautiful area, Lord, for this particular theme, for this particular passage to lie. Lord, between chapter 14, where you say you believe in God, believe also in me, and in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life, as Jesus had responded to Thomas's question. Lord, here in chapter number 15, we are commanded that we are to abide in you and to be the friend of our Savior. We are to keep his commandments. Lord, then it speaks about if the fact that there are those who know not God Almighty. They know not him that sent Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help us to consider this tonight. If others knew, Lord, what would happen in our world if others knew? For we ask all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'll have you be seated tonight. You know, as we begin thinking here, what could happen in our world if others knew about Jesus Christ? As he makes that statement, they know not him that sent me. They know not him that sent me. If you read on in verse number 22, it says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. You see, if we could hide in our ignorance, we'd be all right. Now listen to what I'm saying tonight. We do not have the luxury of hiding in ignorance. We don't have that opportunity. We have the Son of God, Jesus Christ. We have the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have a completed canon of Scripture. We have God's Word given and delivered to mankind that was set from the foundation of the earth, and now God has spoken, and here we have, as Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. You have no cloak for your sin. You have no excuse. Romans says that they are without excuse. You will not be able to stand before God one day. Please listen to me. Every young person in this auditorium, would you look up here right now? You will not have the opportunity. You will not have the excuse to look at God and say, I never knew what was expected of me. I never knew. You don't get that opportunity. Man, I praise the Lord that your mom and your dad have brought you to an old-fashioned Baptist church that's going to preach and teach the Scripture as it is written, because you don't get the opportunity to look at God and say, no one ever told me how I was supposed to behave myself. No one ever told me that I had responsibility for my Christian life. No one ever told me that I was supposed to be obedient to Scripture, that I was supposed to look at my Heavenly Father as my commander and my general. I never knew. You don't get that opportunity. You do not have that luxury. You're without excuse. You're without excuse. Train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs 22, if you read your proverb of the day this morning, you would have read it. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. I promise you, if you ever walk away from God, young person, if you ever walk away from God, you will do so with the full knowledge that you are being disobedient, not just to mom and dad. You're being disobedient, not just to your pastor. You're being disobedient to God. You'll have to live with that every single day of your life. You're being disobedient to God. If others knew that statement, they know not him that sent me. You see, if others knew what Jesus Christ was really all about, there would be far fewer people going to hell. There would be far fewer people going to hell. My dad used to say, if we could simply grab people by the seat of the pants and swing them over hell one time, there would be far fewer people who would go to hell.
Amen.
If they could just experience just the breath of what hell is like one single time. Well, we don't get to do that. So what do we have? Well, we have something even more powerful. We have the very Word of God that holds more power than anything that I could ever tell you, any illustration that I could ever give. I love to use illustrations. Jesus used illustrations. There are windows through which we see truth. I love to use illustrations. When I get an opportunity to talk to someone at their door or at a gas station or wherever it might be, a hospital visit, I love to use illustrations and bring them to the thought of what it is that the Bible has to deal with our lives and why it is that God has set things in stone as he has, and what it means for me to realize that it has nothing to do about my boasting or my bragging. It has everything to do about Jesus Christ. Well, if others knew what they must do. I'm going to ask you to write some notes down. I've got 3 points I'm going to make tonight. I'm going to make them brief. Number one, if others knew what God can do, they would believe Christ. I'm going to show you this here in a few moments. If others knew what God can do. See, I believe that we have a world of people that have no idea what God can really do. They have no idea what God can do. I was talking with Brother Howell yesterday. We were talking about the different religions of the world. And the fact that they don't serve the God that I serve. They may talk about the God of the Bible, but unless if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if an individual does not have the foundation of being a born-again believer, a born-again child of God, then they have no relationship with the Father. Amen. They have no relationship with God Almighty. And they may talk about the God of the Old Testament, but they don't understand the God of the Old Testament. They don't understand that He gave His only begotten Son. I thank the Lord for that. I love how the Bible says that. By the way, run away from any version of the Bible that says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Because if that's true, then John 1:12 is a lie. Because John 1:12 says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And if God gave His only Son on the cross, then I could not become a son of God. He gave His only begotten Son. You see, it's important, the Bible that you carry. People will say all day long, oh, it doesn't really matter. Really? Well, you can hold a book in your hand that you call a Bible that's going to be filled with holes and filled with lies and filled with people talk about the Bible itself contradicting itself. You pick up one of the new versions of the Bible and you can prove some contradictions. I just showed you one right there. I'm not preaching about the King James Bible tonight, but I want you to know where I stand. I hope you do. Amen. Amen. If others knew what God can do, they would believe Christ. Go over to Mark chapter number 15. You keep chopping me down like that, we're not going to get out of here early, all right? We're not going to get to that all-important business meeting. Mark chapter number 15. Mark chapter number 15. I've said it before. You say amen to the preacher, it's like saying, here, boy, to your dog, throwing him a steak dinner and that dog tearing into it. Mark chapter 15, look if you would here. Now, of course, we understand where we're at. We're at the crucifixion of Christ. In this particular passage, Jesus was before Pilate. They released Barabbas. They were at the point here of crucifying Jesus Christ. And when we get down to verse number 32, watch what it says here. Verse 31, likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. And they were crucified with him. They that were crucified with him reviled him. Let him, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. You see, if others knew what God can do, they would believe. Had Jesus Christ come down from that cross, they're saying right there very very openly, if He would come down from that cross, we'd see it, and then we would believe what God can do. They chose, however, to ignore what God had already done. They chose to overlook the fact of the miracles that He performed in front of their very eyes. I am grateful the fact that God proves us, shows to us, convinces us. I'm glad that He does that in the way that He does. As I said this morning, I can't pull back the curtain of heaven and introduce God Almighty to you. I'm glad that I can't, because if so, you wouldn't get saved. But listen, God, without question, still continues to manifest Himself to us, show Himself to us, and yes, I can say prove Himself to us, just not in that physical existence like a lot of people look for. But if others knew what God could, what God can do, they would believe Christ. I believe that there are many unsaved people that want to believe on Jesus Christ, but they first want to see what He's all about. How are they going to find it? Because I promise you this, they're not reading the Bible. They're not reading the Bible to find out about Jesus Christ, because if they do, the Word of God's already going to tell them about Him. If someone will take a Bible and read that Bible and beg God for the truth, I have no doubt that God's going to reveal to them the truth of the Son of God, His death, burial, and resurrection, their ability to receive Christ as their Savior and become a son of God. If someone truly wants to find out, if someone is truly, as Brother Mike preached for our retirement home over here, boy, I thank the Lord for that. I asked a couple weeks ago if he had preached, and he said yes. I said, man, praise the Lord. 8 years, I've been almost 8 years over there, and he stepped in, and I thank the Lord. I didn't have to preach another time this afternoon. Not that I'm looking for an excuse, all right? Don't think that. But man, it was a blessing. And he's talking about if you will seek for Christ, it's not like God is trying to hide himself from you. It's not hide and seek. It's you seek, he'll reveal himself. Oh, you're looking. All right, here I am. Here I am. I like that. I'm sorry, man. I'm taking credit for it. God revealed this to me just this afternoon. It was a wonderful thought. It was a wonderful thought. God's not trying to hide from you. How long can he stay hidden while you're looking for him? No, if you're going to simply look for him, he'll reveal himself. You see, I believe that there are those who are looking to see what God can do, but they're looking to see in your life what it is that God's doing. It might have slipped out one time at work. You might have said something about, well, I'm a Christian. Why did I say that? Now they're going to be watching me. Yeah, amen! Yes, they will. You let them know that you're a child of God. By the way, I like that term better than Christian. I like saying I'm a child of God. I am a born-again believer. You've heard that so many times up here. I don't want to claim that I'm a Christian because that means I am Christ-like. I ain't there. I want to be very careful, but I am a child of God. I don't have to do anything more. I don't have to do anything less. When I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was graced with the fact of being a child of God. Whether I am a Christian or not, whether I conduct myself like Jesus Christ conducted himself, that's an everyday battle. That's an everyday decision. If others knew what God could do, maybe they're looking for what God can do in your life. Maybe they're looking for what God can do. Maybe they watch as you go through a very difficult situation. It might be a turbulent marriage. Turbulent marriages are pretty hard every day in front of coworkers. It's a pretty hard thing to hide. Difficulties in marriage, it seems to come out. Maybe they're looking for what God... Well, you say you go over to Coastal Light Baptist Church and you've got a difficulty in your marriage. I'm going to just kind of sit back and see what God's going to do in your marriage. I'm going to watch. You have something that happened in your family. You were talking about it and I overheard and this relative or that relative or someone got sick or someone passed away and someone close to you and now it's devastation. And I'm just going to kind of watch to see how it is that you conduct yourself. Because I promise you, they are watching you. I've spoken to enough of them that point at those who have failed because they enjoy pointing out those who have failed. Man, you start talking about the Lord. You start talking about real Christianity. You start talking about salvation. You start talking about the God of the Bible. And they'll start talking about all the people they have watched fail who said that they were a child of God, who said that they were a Christian as well. If others knew what God can do, they would believe Christ. I want you to take your Bible, go back to the Old Testament book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 14, here at the end of the passage, we have just, the children of Israel have just now, the book of Exodus, they're coming out of Egypt, they've gotten to the brink of the Red Sea, their backs are against the Red Sea, they think that they're pinned against the wall, there's no place to go. God uses Moses, takes and parts of the Red Sea, praise the Lord, and one night they all walk across the Red Sea, and as they turn and watch the waters crash behind them over top of all the Egyptian soldiers, we see in verse number 29, but the children of Israel, we're in Exodus 14, verse 29. The children of Israel walked upon the dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Watch now. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. You see, if others knew what God can do, they would believe Christ. If others could see and watch the miracles, you know, we don't get to talk about, you know, no one's going to, well, I was going downtown Charleston and it was flooded and God parted the sea for me. No, you're going to trudge through. Anybody ever been down there when it's flooded like that? I was down there one time. I was making a hospital visit in MUSC, and boy, it just started pouring while I was in there, and it was kind of fun. I was watching out the window. I was talking with the person that was in the hospital, and we were looking at the rain, and I got done, said goodbye, prayed with them, and left, and I got out there, and the street between the parking garage and MUSC, there was about 3 feet of water. And I watched the fire truck comes down, and I mean, it's just like, you know, water going everywhere. And I thought, I cannot believe this. And I can't cross there. I've got my good shoes on. I've got my good slacks on. I can't cross that. And so I walk all the way around the corner, and I get to the point where it's only about 6 inches deep. I took off my shoes, and I slopped through that with my socks, getting them wet. You know, I didn't get to, the Lord didn't part the Red Sea for me just so I could get across the street. But you know what? God is going to do some things in my life that people are going to be able to see. They're going to watch what God has done in my life. They're going to be looking for it. It may not be something as grandiose. Is that a Spanish word? I think it is. Grandiose? El grande. It is river, Rio Grande. Yeah, Rio Grande. Taco. Anyway, Taco Bell. Why are you talking? Yeah, amen. Taco Bell. Let's get dismissed and we'll go. Who's moving the clock? All right. Listen, it could be something very simple that God's going to do. But if others knew what God can do, I believe that they would believe Christ. The second thing I want you to write down, if others knew what they should do, they would receive Christ. If they really knew what they should do. Now, there's a difference between knowing what I should do and hearing what I should do, but ignoring it. Take your Bible, go with me over to the book of Acts, chapter number 8. Familiar passage, I'm sure, to all of you. Acts, chapter number 8. In Acts, chapter number 8, now if you have an NIV Bible, you're not going to be able to turn there. You're not going to be able to read all of the verses with this because they will have removed one of the verses. Acts chapter number 8, I want you to look here, verse number 36. The Bible says, and this is talking about Philip. Philip has just been a soul winner. He has witnessed to this Ethiopian eunuch and had witnessed to him, told him all about the Savior, told him all about what Jesus had done. He preached unto him Jesus, verse number 35. Verse number 36 says, they went on their way. They came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, if you do have an NIV Bible, I hope you don't have it with you right now, but if you have one at home, write this verse down and then go look it up in your verse, in your version of that the supposed Bible, because when you get to verse number 36, it's going to ask that question, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And it's going to skip over verse number 37, and it's going to go directly to verse number 38 that says, he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down, both of them, into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. But verse 37 is gone. In other words, in the modern versions of the Bible, and we're not here about a King James Bible conference, but I can't get to this point without mentioning it. In your version, in the NIV, it's going to completely remove verse number 37, which states, if, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Thou mayest what? Thou mayest be baptized. Amen. If you want to get saved, then I'll baptize you. Amen. But don't ask me to baptize you until you're saved. Amen. Don't ask me to baptize you just because you're a little bitty baby. Don't come to me and ask me to sprinkle your baby. Now, I'm not mad at you, and no one has, and I'm not angry. I sound angry. Let me please, if you would. And I hate the devil. I'm mad at the devil because the devil will do anything he can to take that word of God to ruin it, twist it, so that all of the religions of the world can say, well, here's why we baptize babies, because we believe, well, listen, if I'm going to see someone baptized, they need to believe with all their heart about Jesus Christ. And a little bitty baby cannot do that, has no opportunity to do that. Someone comes into this church, says, Pastor, I'd like to join the church. I say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, $3,000 and you're in. Nope, we don't. I say that. How many of you guys said that to you before you joined? Any? Yeah, several of you did. Yeah, all right, good. You still haven't paid, all right? Pastor, I want to join the church. Man, praise the Lord. Tell me about when you got saved. Tell me about when you got saved. Well, I was a da-da-da-da-da-da. Boy, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Praise the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful. Tell me about when you were baptized. When were you baptized? Well, I've never been baptized. Or it went like this. Well, I made a profession of faith, and then I got baptized. And then several years later, I realized, man, as a young person, I really don't know that I understood it. And so I went back and I said, Dear Lord God, I want to make sure that I'm saved. And I'll look at him, I'll say, let me ask you a question then. Between this point and this point, which one do you point to as your true salvation? Well, this one. Wonderful. Where were you baptized? About right there in the middle. Sure. Let's get you baptized. Because baptism always follows salvation. Baptism is never going to precede salvation. So we see here, that this Ethiopian eunuch, if he simply knew what he should do, he received Christ. Go to Acts chapter number 16, another example of this. Acts chapter number 16. Look at verses number 25 down to the verse number 31. In verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. The prisoners heard them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. All he needed to know was, what do I really need to do? I want to know Jesus Christ. What should I do? If others knew what they should do, they would receive Christ. How many people do you know who would gladly receive Christ if they just had a very clear presentation of the gospel? Let's strip away all the religious teaching that you might have had as a child. Let's take away the church that you might be in, because it's not going to be dependent upon a church. And I promise you that. It's not dependent upon Coastal Light Baptist Church. Let's take away all of those things and let's simply look at the Bible. Now, I'm a Baptist by conviction, I'll promise you that. But being a Baptist doesn't get me to heaven.
Amen. Amen.
So you take away all of those things and you tell someone what they must do. If others knew what they should do, honestly understood and knew what they should do. Now, it might be like the young man that we had an opportunity to witness to yesterday. Went through the whole plan of salvation, gave him the gospel, wanted to do nothing with it. It's as if he didn't, even though he agreed, he just seemed to want nothing. He wasn't really convinced of what he should do. When someone meets their sin, when someone meets their lost condition before God, I don't think when you really truly honestly understand your lost condition before God, I don't think I need to be very careful about how I word this sentence. Because I am not a Calvinist, promise you that. I'm not trying to say that there is unresistible grace. No, you can resist it, but when someone truly sees what they need out of Jesus Christ and their lost condition, boy, it's a purposeful choice. I know I'm going to choose to continue to ignore what I see. I'm going to purposefully decide to send myself to hell. Now, they may not word it like that, but I believe that one day they're going to, at the judgment seat, they'll be able to see what it was that they did, and they will wish for the day back that they could stand there. Occasionally, I'll say to someone when I'm at their door, I'll say, there will be a day, sir. There will be a day, ma'am. I don't do this often, but I'll say, there will be a day that you'll remember everything about this day. You'll remember this door frame. You'll remember the lights right here. You'll remember what's going on in the background. You'll remember this ugly face. And you'll remember there was someone telling you that you need to receive Jesus Christ. I do it to try to get their attention, to try to make them think. Most people don't even think about eternity. Right. You ask and they say, yeah, I think about it. But I don't think they ever really truly know what it is that they should do. The third thing I want you to write down, if others knew all that you do, would they perceive Christ? If others knew all that you do, would they perceive Christ? For sake of time, I'll not have you turn there. You can write down 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, 9, and 10. Talks about Elisha, servant of God. There was this woman that said, I believe it was the Shunammite woman, let's build a little chamber. Honey, her husband, not Elisha, but her husband, let's build a little chamber off of the side of our house for when Elisha comes, because I perceive that he is a man of God. If others knew all that you do, would they perceive Christ? Let me state it like this. I stated it about 2 weeks ago. If others knew all that you do, could you win them to Christ? If they said, no, wait a minute, you want me to trust Christ? Hold on. I've got the DVD of your life. Let me just look at it. No, I'm sorry, I don't have time. No, you know what? I make the decision right now. Or it'll last for 30 seconds. If others knew all that you do, could you win them to Christ? Now, I am thankful that it is not dependent upon my life as to whether they'll choose. Oh, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that. But who is it that you might have an opportunity one day to be able to witness to, that they're going to look at you and say, you're telling me about the Son of God? I know a little bit more about you than you think I know. Or if you have a tall college companion, lives about 3 doors down from me in the dorm, named Darren, that looks at you and says, I thought you were a Christian. It's burned into my memory. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that day. I could take you to the very door frame that I was standing in when he asked me that question. See, if others knew all that you do, would there even be a hope? I'm glad they don't know. But folks, what are we doing to say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, for Thee? Why is it that we are so reluctant? Why is it that we are so reluctant to be a true disciple of Christ? I'm thankful that I was born into the family that I was born. I'm thankful that I was born in the United States of America, and I'm thankful that I got to grow up in a church and hear about Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the man at Vacation Bible School that clearly told me how I could be saved. I'm thankful for all these things. I'm thankful that I did not grow up in a country where Islam was the rule of the day. But there are some ardent adherers to error, to the point that they are perfectly willing to kill in unbelievable ways, all in the name of their God. God's not asking you to do anything of the sort. In fact, He's asking you to love them. To love them enough to say, I am a miserable, undone human being. But if there is one thing I can tell you for sure, I can tell you how you could know where you'll spend eternity. If others knew all that you do, would they even perceive Jesus Christ in your life? It's been stated like this: if you were convicted of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? or if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would they be able to have a case? Would they pull the files and the prosecuting attorney come up and say, well, let me begin here and this and that and this? And, or would they say, Judge, we really have absolutely nothing that we can justifiably say is evidence that this man or that this woman is a child of God. We're going to have to let them go. If others knew everything that you do, oh, would they perceive Christ? Let's have a word of prayer. Well, stand with me if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that tonight you would just be with the message. Dear God, I pray that it would truly sink down into our hearts. Lord, I thank you for giving me liberty to preach tonight. Lord, I did take more time than I intended to. Lord, I'm sorry for that to our church family. But Lord, it is an important message that, Lord, if others knew what you could do, dear God, I believe that they would believe Christ. If others knew what they should do, Lord, I pray that I would be willing continually to tell them, Lord, that they would receive Christ. And dear Lord, if everybody knew all that I do, Lord, I pray that they would still, that they would perceive Christ in my life. Lord, help us to make decisions that will affirm these thoughts, dear God. Lord, that we would be able to say, I am a child of God, and I am strongly trying to be a Christian. For I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The piano will begin playing. Oh, would you come tonight? Would you come this evening? Would you say, dear Lord, I must see how others see me. I must see through their eyes tonight. You come as she is playing this evening.